ste nara saya.
Hare Krishna. So, welcome all of you to the Sunday Feast program. So today, the presentation which I have chosen to speak on is junk food habits. So, disclaimers before I begin to speak is that I have not prepared this presentation. It has been prepared by another senior devotee. So he had given this seminar to the devotees, to the counselees, and they found it relevant. So, and subsequently, another devotee told me that you should take this seminar for another group of devotees whom we went to the farm, with whom we went to the farm. So I gave that seminar there. I repeated what was there in the slide, and they found it relevant and they found it important. So I thought maybe, you know, the Sunday Feast crowd also can benefit from this. Shyamananda Prabhu told me yesterday to give a talk today, so I didn't have much time to prepare, and I thought this was a very relevant topic because many of the people who are coming for the Sunday Feast lectures, they don't know these sometimes basic things which we, you know, follow on a day-to-day basis. So some things may be new to you, and if you've already heard it, if you've already attended this seminar before, so it will be a kind of a reminder again for all of you. Hare Krishna. So the topic is seminar on junk food habits. So what is junk food? So junk food is defined in the Wikipedia. I don't know if you know what is Wikipedia. Wikipedia is an encyclopedia in the internet. So you have all the definitions there. So we speak about junk foods. You know, we always have this common usage. Junk food, we say junk food. But what is junk food? How is it defined? So according to Wikipedia, junk food is a term describing food that is perceived to be unhealthy or having poor nutritional value, according to Food Standards Agency. So, which is unhealthy and having poor nutritional value. So this is to be noted. So what comes under this low nutritional value? So the list of it is sugars, refined foods like plain flour, maida. So all these kind of items, white bread, mostly packaged goods, and sugar donuts and all these things. And sugar substitutes, they come in this category of junk foods. Because what happens is that when we take sugar, excess sugar, the body tends to convert it into fat. So many people have realized it. So when they take some Coke or something, they take low diet Coke. So it doesn't have sugar. It has sugar substitute, like aspartame or something like that, some chemical, sugar substitute, which is around 500 to 600 times sweeter than sugar, the sugar substitutes. So it doesn't make a person fat, you know. So, but still that comes under junk food. It doesn't give you any calories. So it comes under that category. So maida, sugar, refined foods, they're all in that category. Then fats and hydrogenated oils. So what is hydrogen? As you may be knowing, it's like, you know, highly reactive colorless gas. So when unsaturated fats is like processed with hydrogen, you get hydrogenated, like dalda and things like that. So they are found in cookies, chips and candy bars, fried foods, etc. And many snacks such as potato chips, cheeseburgers and fries have high levels of fat. Sugar and salt ingredients that are usually best when limited to a small portion of the diet. So salt and all these things should be taken in a moderation. It's not in excess. So many times people have a tendency to go, you know, overboard and they take a lot of fast foods. So that's what then causes a lot of problems. So what are saturated fats? Mainly, it comes from animal products. And remember, there is nothing that is useful for our body in foods with hydrogenated or trans fat. The excess fat sticks to our arteries and they clog the arteries. and therefore, you know, it leads to heart attack. So they can cause cancer, arthritis, and so this is some gyan for all of us. Yeah, you may thinking this is some kind of a technical seminar. We're coming to the spiritual aspect of it also. Salt. Now, excessive salt is not good for our body because it creates some imbalances. You may get high blood pressure and things like that. But there's a moderation of amount of salt which is required for maintaining the water balance in our body. So scientists have researched that a good amount of moderation of salt is good. But what happens is that people get into habits of eating these potato chips and things like that. So potato chips contain a lot of salt. And it tastes very good. So tendency is you have one packet and two packets and three packets in a day. And on a daily basis, it happens like that. So people get addicted. So what happens is you're ingesting a lot of salts. And that there is the problem. So unhealthy preparation also means junk food. So when we speak of street food, the fact that it's cooked in unhealthy conditions makes it more unhealthy than the same food made at home. You know, generally when you go to some hawkers, you know, when people go to hawkers, you'll find all flies everywhere and some gutters are opened, someone is sweeping, mopping, and that person is, you know, cooking on the tawa and he's sweating. Yeah. And then many times you see him doing like this. Sometimes, you know, takes out this. You know, it's a common sight, isn't it? I don't know what, probably that's what makes the food more tasty. People say, you know, ghar pe hum log wahi banate hain but itna swaad nahi rehta hai. But bahar jab khate hain to bahut tasty rehta hai. So people have this kind of habits, you see, I mean, you know, with all of things, but still people are like relishing, you know, like pani puris and all, like, you know, people are shedding tears. And they're like relishing it. You know, that person is sweating and everything. And who knows? No one has ever checked whether he has taken a bath before he has cooked or something. And whole day he's been cooking in the evening and he's all sweaty. And, you know, whether he has cleaned the stall properly or, you know, what all thing, what is the contamination? Did he wash the vegetables before he cut them? You know, all these considerations are there when we cook at home, isn't it? But when you go to the hawker, who sees? How many of you all have seen, actually checked, when he opens the stall that, have you cleaned the stall? How many of you? Anyone? Oh, one person has. Wow. But that's still one only amongst 2,000 people. Isn't it? So the thing is that it's also comes under junk food. Okay, so. So according to Wikipedia, any meal with relatively low preparation time can be considered fast food. Fast food, when you say fast food, which means what? It's made fast. And it's eaten fast. You know, that's fast food, isn't it? It's meant for that, fast food. So it's cooked fast. That's why it is said fast food is fast to eat but slow to digest. You know, you have to spend whole week digesting probably. Because the food doesn't get digested, it's just there, you know, in your long intestines. And it's taking time to get out. Because the food that they have prepared by these, you know, processed and artificial ways, it is very difficult to break it down by a natural processes, enzymes and, you know, digestive juices. It takes a long time because it's prepared quickly, but all the burden of digesting it goes to the stomach. You know, there was a documentary which we saw on one burger company, where he took burgers from these very popular burger stores and put it in glass bottles. And, you know, the French fries and all these hamburgers and all, they put it in bottles. And they saw those burgers and those things which have been made at home or, you know, by these regular people who make it with their hands and things like that. They tend to decompose very fast, maybe say in 1 or 2 days, and then you start getting those molds and fungus coming on it. But those, hamburgers which have been purchased from these fast food centers like, you know, McDonald's and Kentucky's and all, they don't decompose. For months together, you see the bottle and it's as good as fresh. And if it doesn't decompose by the natural process of nature, then we are digesting it, we are putting it into our stomach. How do we expect it to break down in our stomach? So it was a very stunning, you know, experience when we saw that documentary. I'm going to show that they're following certain processes to make the food taste good, but it is very bad for our health. Even pizzas, many times it's nice to have pizzas because they have cheese and all, which is very nutritious. But the problem is when there's too much cheese, that is a problem. Because the body can't take too much of anything. And generally, you know, people who sell pizzas, in order to make it more delicious or what, I don't know what, but they put it a lot of toppings and tomatoes and things like that. And believe it or not, you know, Ayurvedic doctors, those who are, you know, good, authentic doctors, they all say that in a climate like India, to eat tomatoes is not recommended. Especially in 2 months, maybe December and January. It causes so many problems. And you see, many times devotees or, you know, even all of people, they like tomato sauce and they put a lot of tomato puree and curries and things like that. So many of these junk foods contain a lot of these excesses, you know, of tomatoes and cheese and things like that. So that's what makes it very dangerous for our health. And the pizza base is often made out of maida. It tastes good and it, you know, fluffs very nicely when you bake it. But the problem is, again, it's junk food because it doesn't have any nutritional value and it doesn't have any fibers. So it causes other problems, health problems like constipation and things like that. So too much fried means also junk food. So Indian junk food is like locally called chaat. And these mostly include the very famous samosas, kachoris, panipuris, golgappas and patties. They are fried items with various fillings within an outer layer made of refined flour. That's also made of maida, right? And it's fried. So that's again comes in this category of junk food. Chinese food. In India, even Chinese food sold in roadside stalls is junk food because they contain high amount of monosodium glutamate, which is a flavor enhancer. MSG is recognized as a health hazard if taken in larger quantities. They make it spicy, you know. If Chinese foods, if you eat it, it's very tangy and very chatpata. And it's very nice. People love it. Like, you know, it was quite surprising. We had an experience in our temple that a group of devotees, Chinese devotees, original Chinese, original, they came to our temple and they said, "We know Indians love Chinese food, so we will cook for you, for the brahmacharis. So welcome, please." So they were given the kitchen and all the Chinese devotees were, you know, busy cooking and everything. Yeah, there's noodles and hakka noodles and fried rice and all that. And all the devotees are waiting for that original Chinese. And the soups came and the noodles and the fried rice and everything. And all the devotees came onto the plates and all the devotees took the morsel of food of the Chinese. I saw most of the devotees' expressions were like, "Okay, what is this? I mean, there's no salt, there's no pepper, there's no spices or what?" Then at least it dawned on me that this is original Chinese. The Indian Chinese food is actually not Chinese. It is Chinese food altered to suit the Indian tongue. If Chinese people eat the Chinese food sold in India, they will also be surprised. So, wow, even we don't know how to make this. I mean, that was a revelation. It was first-hand experience that the Chinese people made Chinese and we didn't like, I mean, at least I didn't like it. I mean, I found it okay, but some devotees, they just didn't like it. They said, "Kidhar hai? Chapati kidhar hai? Sabji kidhar hai?" Enough of Chinese. No more Chinese. So, and many times those people making Chinese, you know, they look like this, but they're not necessary from China. Maybe from Nepal or something, you know. I mean, there are so many Mongolians. Yeah. So, okay, so what's wrong in actually eating junk food? What's wrong? What's wrong in it? What are the ill effects? So there are certain ill effects on our body, on a physical body, and certainly on our spirit soul also. So let us take a look at it first on what it has on the impact it has on the physical body. So it is said the companies prefer the name fast food. This is not just because it is manufactured and served up as quickly as possible. It has to be eaten quickly too. Generally, people go to fast foods because they don't have time to cook and everything. You know, just go to a fast food, just order, pay the money and immediately get it. And then they take the burger and they're walking to office and they're eating it. Or they're driving the car and taking a bite. Or they're walking and they're talking with someone and they're eating. Or they're on the mobile phone and they're eating. You see? So what happens is the concept of eating fast is very bad. The very concept of eating food fast is very bad. Because according to the Shastras, our daily action, our activities must be guided by Sattva Guna. Sattva Guna means awareness. You're aware of what you're doing. So even if you're eating, it has to be done consciously. And you have to enjoy your food. You know, you have to have the experience. Oh, I'm eating this thing. And how much I'm eating. And everything should be consciously done. You can't just be eating and talking and, you know, discussing your share market and things like that. Or you're discussing heavy philosophy when it comes to maybe even devotees. You're discussing heavy philosophy and you're sweating and, you know, you're eating your food and you're discussing, analyzing, all those things. What happens is that the physical experience of eating fills up your belly, but the mental experience of eating is not there. You've eaten the food is there in your belly, but your belly is full, but your mind is empty. So what happens is that you don't feel satisfied. So you tend to eat more. Arey khana ho gaya, khatam ho gaya. Arey khana khaya. Kitna khaya? Shayad khaya nahi. Teen chapati khaya ya do chapati khaya? Acha, maybe let me take a little more. And you end up taking two more chapatis. So it is good to enjoy your food. You know, it's nothing wrong. Enjoy prasad. And you're eating, oh, okay, wonderful prasad. Excellent. And you're eating it and you're relishing it. Some may say this is sense gratification. Hey, you're telling to enjoy? What is this? But well, if you do not do that, then you end up eating more. Now, what is bad? What is worse? You know, overeating or eating limited a quantity and enjoying the prasad. So therefore, it has to be done consciously, everything what we do. You know, even the eating must be done, should be done. That's recommended, that when you eat, you be conscious. Srila Prabhupada, then he used to eat alone, always. Always alone, he used to eat. That was his general habit. Many of his personal servants, they say that. But of course, if you are in the devotee community, it's good to eat in an assembly of devotees. Amongst devotees, it's all right. But again, in the concept of fast food is that, you know, you go to a restaurant, one goes to a restaurant, and generally if you see the restaurants, they're open, they've got these glass, you know, everywhere. And the restaurant generally face the roadsides, and all the people going in the car, they look around and there are people sitting on the restaurants and they're eating. Everyone, it's a public display that they're eating. And everyone can see, thousands of people passing by are seeing what you're eating. You're eating a burger and french fries or what. Everything is clearly visible. But that is not actually the Vedic culture. Vedic culture of eating is you eat in private. Amongst your, you know, some beggars will be passing by and he's loathing over your food and he's thinking, you know, I am starving here, I'm not having any food. And you're having a milkshake and, you know, and you're having 7-Up and you're having, Seven Loves ice cream and all that. And here he is starving and he's looking at you and it's not a good consciousness. I mean, his consciousness affects you, you know. And then he's banging on the door. Especially in India, it's a common sight, you know. It's difficult, you know. How can you focus? How can you be in good consciousness? You know, I mean, you get a feeling that, you know, I'm having, you know, a 300-400 rupees dish and this guy is, you know, not even having a normal chapati to eat. You know, naturally, the concept of fast food is you spend extravagantly, whereas so many people are actually suffering because of lack of food. Not necessarily lack of food, because maybe they are having so many other bad habits, they squander their money or things like that. But still, the concept of eating in public is not Vedic. It has to be, it's a private affair where it is served out of love. Say maybe when you're eating at home or some devotee's house, there's affection and they are serving you food, anything wonderful, and you're honoring it. He wants you to enjoy the food. He wants you to take the food. But generally when you're sitting, when a person sits in a restaurant, the waiter is looking, kitna tip dega. It's not love. It's how much tip you give. And if you want to test whether it is really love, genuine love, then you don't give him a tip. And you see his response next time you go into the restaurant. Isn't it? So this concept of fast food, eating fast, is not good. It has to be done peacefully. And it is said, drink food, drink your food and eat your drink. That means one has to chew the food so well that you give sufficient time for the food to dissolve in the juices, saliva and things like that, so that the food breaks down when it reaches the stomach. So that it's digested easily. Otherwise, you know, it ends up that you gulp down the food and it loads the stomach and the digestive process. So therefore, food has to be chewed very well. So junk food is so lacking in bulk that it is hardly possible to chew it. Even their own figures show that a quarter pounder is 48% water. That means you take a burger, you know, a quarter pounder, which is sold in these McDonald's, it's 48% water. That means there's nothing to chew actually. It just shows bulk. It's everything bulky and looks big in size. But if you crush it down, it's got nothing. It's got nothing, no bulk. So there's nothing to chew. So as a result, what happens is there's no satisfaction. You've eaten a lot. You feel like you've eaten a lot, but your stomach is like this. You don't feel satisfied. So what is the benefit for a company? The company ensures that you come back again for more food. And there's more sale. There's more business for them. So this sort of fake food encourages overeating. And high sugar and sodium content can make people develop a kind of addiction, a craving. That means more profit for the multinational companies, and for us, constipation, clogged arteries, and heart attacks. One problem of the many problems with junk food is that they're low and satiable value. That is, people don't tend to feel as full when they eat them, which can lead to overeating. So that problem is, another problem springing from that is that you don't get the opportunity to eat good foods. You miss out on all those nutritional foods which you could have eaten during that time. It's low in fiber, which means that again it's choking your digestive system. It's high in palatability. That is, it tastes good. There's no doubt whether the fast foods taste good or not. Yeah, it tastes fabulous. It's amazing. Out of the world. Yeah, it's delicious. It's exquisite. There's no doubt about it. But that's the problem. The problem is that it tastes too good. And the people making the food, they ensure that it tastes good. Why? So that you go again and again and eat that food. Isn't it? It's very tangy and very delicious, mouth-watering. And everything about the environment, the ambience of fast food restaurants is that it's so good, so welcoming. Isn't it? But that, the irony of this world is, the best things of this world are the biggest traps. Is it not? And therefore the Vedic literature has given an example of a fish. How is a fish caught? I mean, you put another small fish as bait and you put it in the water, the hook, and the fish thinks, oh, wonderful, you know, what a delicious food just for me. And it comes and it gets trapped. So the fish gets trapped because of its tongue. So therefore there's a warning for human beings that one should not be as foolish as a fish. And one should learn to control one's tongue. One's tongue must be controlled. So therefore the palatability of fast food is a big trap. And therefore people tend to become addicted to eating in fast food restaurants. So it offers a high number of calories, measuring the energy value of food. That is, calories is a unit of measurement of the energy value. So it offers a high number of calories in a small volume. So you're eating little, but you're getting a lot of calories, a lot of sugar and a lot of these things. So people tend to put on weight. So it's high in fat. It's high in sugar in liquid form. So there's another problem which the scientists, by their research, you know, there are many scientists who are independently doing research. Because what happens is that the fast food companies and all these big companies, they're doing their research and they present the facts as if there's nothing wrong with these foods, it's very good for you and all those, because it's their business at stake. They want to do a lot of business. So if there is any harmful results out of that experiment, out of their products which they come up, they don't want people to know about it. Why? Because if they know, then they are not going to buy the product, they're going to go into the loss. But there are scientists, group of scientists, who independently conduct researches. And they have found out, and many of these results are, you know, independently conducted researches, where they say that this junk food, they lack enzymes. Another result of our research is that what happens is that when you eat the food, the enzymes are used up from the body. Now, the body needs enzymes. But when the enzymes are used in breaking down the food in your body, that destroys the metabolism, slows down the metabolism of your body, which means the development of the bones and the blood and things like that. So as a result, the growth is stunted and various other natural, you know, functions of the body, they are stunted. So junk foods are empty calories. So what is an empty calorie? It means that it lacks vitamins, minerals, amino acids. It's just giving you energy, but there's no vitamins and minerals in it. So since junk food is high in fats and sugars, it is responsible for obesity, dental cavities, and health diseases. Now in India, it's not so much of a problem. Because generally, Indians are not very plump. And Indians are not yet addicted so much to fast foods and junk foods. But in the West, it is a major problem. So therefore, if you see, there are in the West, there are a lot of fat people. After they cross 35, they become very fat. You know, and that is a major problem, to become fat. Now, thin people will never know what it is to be fat. Thin people are thinking, I want to become fat. And fat people are thinking, I want to become thin. Isn't it? But the thing is, it is a major epidemic. Obesity. Obesity means to be overweight. It is a major epidemic in the Western world. And the cause of this epidemic is attributed to fast foods. So, since junk food is high in fats and sugars, it is responsible for obesity, dental cavities, and heart diseases. So, like, you know, you eat these chocolates sometimes, you know, it's very wonderful, delicious. But the problem is it sticks to your teeth, is it not? And recently I was visiting Muralidhar Prabhu in his dental clinic. So I was just waiting for my turn and I saw one board there. Avoid sticky foods. Sweets which are sticky in nature. Because the sweets tend to stick in your teeth and they cause cavities. So, you know, food like chocolates and you know, chicky and things like that. They're very hard to eat. And when you eat it, the cavities, those sugar molecules, they get embedded in the teeth. You know, and ensures that you get a cavity very soon. Because even after brushing, it does not come out. So these are all junk foods. Once Srila Prabhupada was in the West, and there was a gardener there. So he was speaking with him, and he said, so Prabhupada was just joking with him. How many teeth do you have? So he became embarrassed because he didn't have any teeth. So he said, Srila Prabhupada, I don't have any teeth. I have all artificial teeth because I usually eat a lot of sweets. Srila Prabhupada said, I have all my teeth. And he showed his teeth. I also eat a lot of sweets, but I eat the right kind of sweets. So you see, the Vedic sweets are like, you know, the traditional sweets are better than all these junk sweets, which tastes good, but it's very bad for the teeth and things like that. So, you know, I was just listening to one lecture by Dr. Leeladhar. He's an Ayurvedic doctor from Vrindavan. He gives seminars to ISKCON devotees all over the world as to diet and spirituality. And he was saying the history of Ayurveda. If you go back to the history, that in Satya Yuga, it is said in the Shastras, there was no disease. None of the people in Satya Yuga ever became diseased. Then the age changed and Treta Yoga came. And the first symptom of disease appeared. So what was that? Fever. And people didn't know what it was. Fever? What is this disease? Because they never experienced what is disease. So the rishis got together and they had a conference. Yeah? And to discuss that what is wrong. And through astrology they could understand that the yoga has changed. It is Treta Yuga and it's the age of, you know, deterioration of spiritual principles. People will become lazy in spiritual practices. And as a result, disease will also appear. So then the sages decided that for the welfare of the humanity, we will go and get a medicine. Because Ayurveda was not there on the earth planet. There was no need. Because people were not getting sick. And then the rishis were sent to heavens to get the knowledge of Ayurveda to earth. Which, as you may be knowing, in the Shastras, there is a story of Dhanvantri. You know, the Samudra Manthan, which took place. The demigods and the demons were churning the ocean. And then finally, the nectar came. Dhanvantri came along with the nectar. And along with that, he came with all the knowledge and all the herbs for healing diseases. So that knowledge was there with the demigods. It was not there amongst humans. So the rishis was then sent to the heavens to bring that knowledge to the earth planet in order to cure diseases. So it is said in Treta Yuga, in Satyuga, everyone ate fresh fruits, roots, freshly prepared, immediately eaten. But then Treta Yuga came when laziness crept in, then barfis. Cook it and store it and eat it after some time. The beginning of all diseases, to eat stored food. Laziness, you know. Just like many times, devotees, we have maha cleaning. Once in a month, we get together and we clean. Or those areas which you generally cannot reach in your normal cleaning process. So devotees do maha cleaning. But I've seen in certain families, before I came to ISKCON, there's something called as maha cooking. Where all the family members come together and cook for the whole week. And they store it in microwave jars and put it in the refrigerators. And then they label it. And first day of the month, breakfast. First day of the month, lunch. First day of the month, dinner. And it's properly labeled, systematically kept in the refrigerators. All the children have to do is take out that respective food, put it in the microwave for 1 minute, take it out, and it's hot, steaming food ready. So the cause of diseases, yeah, when you eat stale foods. So, other ill effects of junk food. The relationship between soft drink consumption and body weight is so strong that researchers calculate that for each additional soda consumed, the risk of obesity increases 1.6 times. So with more this colas and Pepsis and all these, it increases the tendency. I mean, I'm just presenting the facts. I'm not telling that this should be done, you should not be drunk or something. I mean, it's up to all of us to decide what should be done or not. It's information which is available to all of us. It is up to us to make the decision whether we should be doing these, we should be having these things or not. So adolescence means those who are just growing up, 13, 14 years of age, just achieving maturity. So who consume soft drinks, adolescents who consume soft drinks display a risk of bone fractures 3 to 4-fold higher than those who do not. So these fast foods like, you know, the Pepsi Colas and all these things, it is known to cause osteoporosis, causes vitamin K deficiencies and leads to weaker bones. So they tend to get fractures and things like that faster. So sugar and acid in soft drinks easily dissolve tooth enamel. There was research conducted, you know. They took a glass of Pepsi or something and they put a tooth inside it. And within a few days, the tooth completely dissolved in it. A tooth, the strongest part of a human body, dissolved in Coca-Cola or something like that. Pepsi or something like that. You can imagine. I mean, you know, when a body decomposes, after many years you dig up the body, you will find teeth. The last thing to go is teeth. It's the hardest thing in the human body. And that dissolved in Pepsi. So imagine you're drinking that. What is going to happen to the soft, soft, delicate intestines in our body? It's horrible. Someone was saying that, you know, some very famous yoga teacher was saying, the only useful use of Coke and Pepsi is to clean toilets. Because just before you scrub the toilets, if you just pour it, you know, the effervescence within that cola, you know, reduces the stains in it, and then you can scrub it and scrape it off nicely. So, aspartame contains methyl or wood alcohol, which can affect fetal brain development. What is aspartame? It is a sugar substitute. It is low diet Coke. They contain sugar substitute called as aspartame. Now, aspartame, when it goes into the body, it breaks down into certain molecules. And one particular molecule actually is poison. And there are doctors independently doing research, and they have concluded that aspartame, food which is containing aspartame, causes brain tumors, brain cancers. It leads to that, for sure. But still, it is okayed by the Food and Drug Administration, FDAs, and it's all right, no problem. So therefore, we have to be careful, because anything we eat artificial, any chemicals we eat, it has to have some side effects. If it was good for us, then, you know, Krishna would have given it to us. You know? Like, therefore, it is said in the Isha Upanishad, Isha Vasem Idam Sarvam. Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vashyate. That this world which has been created by God is complete and perfect. God has made it complete and perfect. There is nothing more to be invented. You don't have to invent anything new. Anything which is useful for us is there. And if we go to invent something, that will have severe negative repercussions to the health, which we may not realize immediately, or we may realize after some time. Therefore, one has to stick to nature. That is important. In America, you know how much they drink, how much Coca-Cola they drink? I don't know how to even say that. 497-7275-0000 liters of carbonated water per year. In crores of liters per year. Well, that's America. What about Indians? 1.96 crore bottles daily. 300 ml bottle, 1.96 crore bottles daily. And you see these, you know, advertisements, drinking, people very tired and sweaty and exhausted, and it's hot and sunny, and then all of a sudden they get a bottle of Coke and Pepsi and they're drinking, and they're showing expressions of delight, and you know, and you also, even though you're not thirsty, you think, hi, it's very hot, I need a Pepsi. And you drink it, and you don't get the experience of refreshing or something that way, but you've seen it in an advertisement and you think that, yeah, it has to be refreshing, yeah, I'm feeling refreshed. It's, you know, kind of brainwashing which is going on. You know, you see all those advertisements. So why one craves for junk food? Why is it that we know it is bad, and many people know that it's bad, but still why people crave for it? Statistics show that 3% of TV ads are for nourishing foods. Nourishing foods, only 3%. I mean, generally you see advertisements for those things which people don't need actually. What people need, they'll go and purchase. You don't have to tell them, go purchase rice, go purchase rice, wheat. You don't have to tell them. They'll already do that. But you advertise things which people don't want, and you create a need in people. Make them feel that if you don't have this, very bad. Very bad. Horrible. And you start, oh really, it's very bad. I have to go and get it. And that's how, that's the principle behind advertising. You know, that's how I've done my marketing management. And that's what we used to study. How to fool people. Basically, that's what it is. How to create a demand. It's just, advertising is nothing, just like, you know, those people, hawkers in the trains, they go with all those toys, ding, 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 they go all the, you know, with the damru and with the planes and helicopters, and they're pulling it, and the small children go and say, ah, I want that. I want a helicopter. And then he gets a helicopter. Father says, oh, why did you come here? And then he says, I have to give him the helicopter. And then he goes ahead. And then again he comes back. And then now he's showing a torch, something like a torch. And the son says, ah, I want the torch. And then he says, Father, I want torch. I want torch. I want torch. I want torch. Why did you come back again here? And then he's forgotten. He's thrown the helicopter and now he wants a torch. I've seen that. I was traveling from Mayapur to Calcutta. On the train, I was observing a small child, you know, nagging his father. First, he wanted torch. First, he got torch. And after something, he saw something else. And then he wanted that. So the father showed him, see, I brought you torch. Torch. And he broke it. I don't want torch anymore. I want that now. Started breaking it. And the father said, no, I will not give you that. No. And then he started crying and, you know, and started tearing the shirt of, he started pulling on the shirt of the father and he's going down underneath the, on the floor. And the father's trying to pick him up, but he's just, you know, melting down. He said, come up. He said, no. And he's going melting down under the, and I was just observing, you know, what is the psychology of children. And that man is just waiting there. Tang, 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 tang. He's playing the toy. He's waiting. What is, who's going to win? The child is going to win or the father is going to win? And they said, no, I want that. I want. And the father is saying, no, beti. And he's a very unique father. Like, you know, generally mothers are like that. But I saw the father is very loving. And the father is trying to console him. And the child is tearing the shirt of the father. And then all of a sudden I saw a hand came from back and one slap on the child's face. Fuck! So I got up to see who it was. And it's her, the mother was sitting on the opposite side. And I was thinking, my God, this is exactly how it is. The living entity is sitting on the lap of Krishna. He says, I want this. I want that. I want. And Krishna is trying to say, come on, you don't need all these things. You don't need these things. So no, I want it. And then from behind comes a slap of Maya, of Durga Devi. And we get a slap and say, oh, what is it? And then he was sitting very quietly. He forgot what he wanted. Slap was enough. I saw his ears had turned red. Cheeks had turned red. So he was sitting very peacefully. And then the father saying, what is it, my dear son? No problem. So from behind there was a slap and from front there was love, affection. So that's what Krishna also does to us, actually, in one sense. We come to invent many things. We invent, okay? Sugar is bad. Don't worry. Aspartame. And then we develop aspartame and then that has another side effect. We get a slap. When we get a slap again, we go back to basics. You have to go back to basics. That's how the universe has been created. Complete and perfect. There's nothing more we want to invent. And most of the scientific research is going into this only. Aspartame and artificial sugars, bubbles, how when you take a bath, the bubble should not burst. There's a research theory. One of our devotees who passed on from PhD from a very premier institute, his research project was how to keep a bubble from bursting. He said, I spent all my life doing research and studying so much just to keep the bubble from bursting on the bodies of these wealthy people who purchase these soaps. You know, soaps, lather, you get these lathers. So it should not burst. That is a research thesis after passing out from Premier Institute. So the average child sees how much? 10,000 TV advertisements per year. Before most children can speak, they can recognize fast foods like McDonald's. I saw one documentary where a child was shown the photograph of Jesus Christ. You know who is he? Then he was shown the clown, you know, of McDonald's. Ah, it's a McDonald's. Could recognize. He didn't know who was Jesus Christ, but he knew who McDonald's was. So these companies ensure that you know their product. You're well aware. You know, well aware that what are the products. American and Japanese boys and girls top two food choices. What? Fast foods. Fast food choices means burgers or something like that. So fast food business is the number one in US followed by pharmaceutical company. I think there's a relationship. And also it is important to note, in the Vedic times, three things were free. Food, medicine, and education. In the age of Kali Yuga, these three things are the most lucrative industries. food, medicine, and education. Is it not? The number one industry in the US is the food industry. The number two industry in the US is the pharmaceutical industry. And you know, institutes, there are an umpteen number of educational institutes. If you become a politician, you open an educational institute. Isn't it? I mean, that's what it is. So, you see, why were these things kept free of charge? Because these are the weaknesses of the society. These things, if people tend to make it as a business, people can be exploited. And the main purpose of the goal of life will not be met. What is the goal of human life? The goal of human life is that we come closer to God. We make spiritual development. We come closer to God. That is the essence of dharma. That is the essence of human life. Dharma. So we may tend to get deviated from the main principle and get caught up in all other things. Therefore, these three things were kept free. So you want food? All right. You can go, could go anywhere and you eat food. That's why these things were kept free. But you see, even a drug industry, even the medicine industry, everyone wants to get cured of the diseases. But if you see, if a doctor becomes greedy, then he can exploit you like anything. You get a fracture, you know, and you have to have some pins and things. Just to remove a pin, he'll charge you some 10,000 rupees. For him, it's 2 minutes job, but then, you know, a poor person cannot afford it. So if these people become greedy, then it can cause havoc in the society. If big corporates take charge of these things, they can exploit the society. Therefore, big corporations, all these corporations like McDonald's and all these big multi crore corporations have got a turnover larger than the GDP of many countries. And they have so much economic power that they can... That's how East India Company, they came into India. The East India Company came to India and slowly, slowly, by trading, they took charge of a country like India. How did it start? Through corporation. So, in US, 50 prescriptions every second is dealt. 20 million animals are slaughtered in US alone. 35,000 cows in India. Now, India is a majorly Hindu country. 35,000 cows are slaughtered per day. Fast food centers like McDonald's operates more than 30,000 restaurants in more than 100 countries on 6 continents. So there are doctors who say fast food is a major contributor to the obesity epidemic. 40% of meals are eaten outside the homes. You know, people previously, they used to eat at home and sometimes they say, chalo yaar, aaj thoda bahar jaake khate hain. Today it has become opposite. People are eating always outside. They say, chalo aaj thoda ghar pe jaake khate hain. For a change, you know. Have a chill, little break. Bahut ho gaya. Let's go and eat and come home and say, Mummy, kya banaya aaj ghar pe? Something like that. Culture is changing, you know. So 40% of the meals are eaten outside the homes. There is also an additional reason for physical cravings. Why people are hankering for fast foods? An imbalance in our inner ecosystem. There's something wrong with our body which causes it. It's a disease. So an imbalanced inner ecosystem is caused by stress, toxins, drugs, and poor dietary habits, like eating too many processed foods, essentially the basics of our modern lifestyle. Some babies are even born today with an imbalanced inner ecosystem, which sets the stage for childhood illness and low immunity. So certain foods set you up physically for an increase in appetite and cravings. Like, for example, certain things you eat, you tend to feel hungry. The appetizers make you feel more hungry. So what are those? Sugar, high fructose corn syrup, MSG, aspartame, refined mineral depleted salts, and processed foods like bread, chips, candy, cookies, and donuts. Basically, all these fast foods, they contain all these things. Therefore, when you eat once, you want to go again and eat it again and again and again. It becomes irresistible, craving. So let us understand the underlying psychology of junk food companies which are marketing these products. What is the psychology behind it? Now, when you eat at home, what is the psychology? Love, affection. When you go home, a mother feeds us or a parent feeds us. Why? Because of love. They are cooking out of love for us. But what are the motivations of companies? Is it love for us?
No.
Fast food companies try to show in their nutrition guide that mass-produced hamburgers, chips, colas, milkshakes, etc. are a useful nutritious part of any diet. It's very important. If you don't eat burgers, that's very bad. It's good for health. You should eat it sometimes, like that. So that is the impression which people get because of the marketing. What they don't make clear is that a diet high in fat, sugar, animal products and salt, and low in fiber, vitamins and minerals, which describes an average McDonald's meal, is linked with cancers of the breast and bowel and heart disease. This is an accepted medical fact and not a cranky theory. The normality trap. Advertisements portraying the fast food centers as a happy circus-like place where burgers and chips are provided for everybody at any hour of the day and late at night traps children into thinking they aren't normal if they don't go there too. So that is a general, again, brainwashing which is going on in the society. And if you do not go to restaurants, you're not eating in these places, you're not hep. You know, you need to go there. So that's again brainwashing going on in the... Appetite, necessity, and above all, money never enter the innocent world of fast food. Many people have not experienced hunger. So what does that mean? I mean, of course, if we eat when we are hungry. But no, actually. Even before we actually feel the pangs of hunger, food is there. People don't go to fast food restaurant because they're extremely hungry and they want to eat. No. Many times people, they're discussing, aur kya kar rahe aaj? पता नहीं क्या करने का चलो जाके कुछ खाते सो दे आर हंग्री यार बहुत भूख लग रही है यू शुड गो एंड ईट समथिंग नो इट्स बेसिकली हाउ यू वांट टू स्पेंड टाइम यू नो दैट्स जनरली एपेटाइट इट्स नॉट देयर आई मीन पीपल डोंट गो टू ईट बिकॉज दे आर हंग्री और इट इज नेसेसरी और मनी दे डोंट कंसिडर मनी एंड जनरली इट इज ऑब्जर्व दैट व्हेन पीपल गो टू रेस्टोरेंट और समथिंग लाइक दैट It happens with all of us. I mean, with me also. I mean, when you go to a restaurant, take out the purse and you see 200-300 rupees. Only 200-300 rupees. It seems so insignificant. But when you come to the temple, you have to put money into the hundi. We take out, there's no change, it's 100 rupees. And so you go, 100 rupees? My God, it's a lot. You know. But when you go to these places, you find 100 rupees? Yeah, nothing. It's damn cheap. Yeah, dirt cheap. It's nothing. Very cheap. Good food for very cheap rate. But people end up spending a lot of money, ultimately. Because ultimately becomes a habit. So what seems very innocent and everything, very nice, and it's actually a money-making business. It's a big money-making business. So three purposes of eating. Generally, people eat for what? Why people are meant to eat? For strength. Right? We eat for strength. We eat for taste. We want satisfaction. And we eat for purification. Correct? So this is a very important part. That we eat for what? For purifying ourselves. To evolve spiritually. That is another reason to eat. But in the age of Kali Yuga, people have come out with a fourth reason to eat. What is that? Time pass. There are people who are selling, you know, these time pass. Hey, time pass. They do. And they're selling popcorns and chips and things like that. Time pass. I mean, you have nothing to do, so you eat. You're getting bored, so you eat. I mean, is that a reason to eat? But still, major people, all of us, I mean, once upon a time, we were all like, you know, victims of that kind of propaganda. That if you have nothing to do, you're getting bored, no problem, eat this. So, people don't have a higher purpose in life. People don't know how to spend their valuable time. That's why people think, okay, then let's eat something. So, that's the problem. So, understanding junk food from a spiritual perspective. Okay. So, let us take a spiritual perspective of it. So, it is said in the 17th chapter, Aharastvabhi sarvasya tri vidho bhavati priya yajnas tapas tatha danam tesham bhedam imam shrinu. So, amazing that these words are spoken by Krishna explaining different kinds of food before a battlefield. I mean, there's a battle going to be fought. 60 crore soldiers have been assembled. And Krishna is telling Arjun, Parth, these are the different kinds of food. I mean, you can open the 17th chapter and read it. It's there. I mean, food, out of all the places on the battlefield about food. Let us analyze. The Gita begins in the 2nd chapter about soul. Now, Arjuna is said to be Arya. All Aryans know about the soul, body, and certainly they know about food because it's the Vedic times. Everyone knows about food, what is good, sattva ahar, rajasik ahar, tamasik ahar. Everyone knows about it. But Krishna is telling Arjuna about food. What does that indicate? It indicates it's not for Arjuna. Because he already knows about it. That means it is for us. It could also indicate, and it actually indicates that in the age of Kali Yuga, this very important principle will be forgotten. Therefore, it has been emphasized. Why something is spoken at a very crucial time when it is very important? So therefore, knowing that in the age of Kali Yuga, this is going to be exploited, this principle of food is going to be exploited, so therefore Krishna has repeated it in a very crucial time before a battlefield, out of all the places, food. So what are the foods? There are three kinds of foods. Food in the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. Sattva, rajasik and tamasik ahar. So we know that, we know these principles. Ayu sattva balarogya sukha priti vivardhanaha rasya snigdaha sthira riddhya ahara sattvika priyaha. So it is mentioned that foods dear to those in the mode of goodness increase the duration of life, purify one's existence, give strength, health, happiness and satisfaction. Such foods are juicy, fatty, wholesome and pleasing to the heart. So like milk, fruits and all these things, naturally occurring things, honey and all these vegetarian foods, they're sattvic ahar, freshly prepared, cooked at home in clean environment with love and devotion, this is sattvic ahar. Like prasad. Prasad is transcendental, but it is cooked in the mode of goodness. What we eat at home or in the temple. What is rajasik ahar? Katva amla lavanati ushna tikshna rushna vidahinaha. Ahara rajasas cheshta dukkha shokamaya pradaha. Foods that are too bitter, too sour, salty, hot, pungent, dry and burning are dear to those in the mode of passion. Such foods cause distress, misery and disease. So, many of the foods, if you see junk foods, they sometimes come in this category. Very, very spicy, overly spiced. So, they cause diseases. So, rajasik ahar is good to eat, you know, but ultimately they cause disease. Dukkha shokamaya pradaha. What they give you is what? Immediate pleasure, but misery later on. Yata yamam gatarasam puti paryushitam chayat. Uchishtam api chamedhyam bhojanam tamasapriyam. So, tamasik ahar is food which are prepared more than 3 hours before eating. And food that is tasteless, decomposed and putrid and food consisting of remnants and untouchable things is dear to those in the mode of darkness. Like fish, meat and eggs and all these things. I was seeing one advertisement of one liquor advertisement. It is written there. Bottled 12 years old. I mean, that thing was prepared 12 years ago and you're drinking it now. So that comes in the mode of tamogun. I mean, something prepared 3 hours. I mean, in 3 hours it's tamasic. Something which is prepared 12 hours, people drink it. I mean, come to think of it. So that is Kali Yuga. Tamasik ahar. And also foods like non-vegetarian foods, they all come in this category. Many times you see people, you know, going to purchase fish or something, fish markets. They close their nose like this. Kaise diya? Achha. Iska kitna? And they're covering your nose. Theek hai, 1 kilo. I mean, it smells so bad, and why eat it? Just imagine. So like, you know, some of our devotees were in Singapore. And they were frying puris in pure ghee. And some of the Singaporeans could not tolerate the smell. And they came knocking and said, what is that stench? What is that foul smell? Saying, we are cooking in pure ghee. Stop it. Stop it immediately. It is disgusting. So in the age of Kali Yuga, most of the people are in the mode of ignorance. So in the mode of ignorance, what is good seems bad. What is bad seems good. So something which smells so bad, they relish it like anything. Something like ghee, pure, it's like horrible, intolerable. So control that tongue. That's why it is said, the title started with a 2-inch tongue can kill a 6-foot man. That's what it is. It's very small. You know, tongue is very small and it's hardly visible. You see, it's inside. But it can control us like anything. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Jivera lalsa jai iti uti dhai shishnodara parayana krishna nahi paya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, one who runs after satisfying one's tongue and genitals and belly, one cannot get Krishna. One has to be detached from these things. It's trying to satisfy one's tongue and the belly. Krishna nahi paya, one will not get Krishna. One will not be able to advance in Krishna consciousness. So, it's bad karma. Many times we may feel that, you know, eating in fast food is not such a bad thing. But if you see, many fast food companies is mainly based on meat. And they sell millions of burgers every day in every country of the world. Many of the fast food centers have got branches all over the world. And they may not be selling non-vegetarian foods in India, but they're selling non-vegetarian food abroad. So that means when you eat in these restaurants, you are supporting them. You are giving them profits, which will help them produce more non-veg foods and sell in other countries. Which means that we are partaking of that karma. We are part of that karma. Even though we are eating vegetarian foods, but we are supporting them in their endeavors. So these companies produce both vegetarian and non-vegetarian foods, which are both junk foods. So we are trying to support them. So therefore, eating in these restaurants is actually bad karma. Yeah. So same thing, we may not eat meat, but still we are getting the karma for actually having eaten meat. So food has got dual purposes. It can either cause you in sin, implicate you in sin, or it can cause us liberation, it can give us liberation. So in the Vedas it is explained, Ahara shuddhau sattva shuddhi, sattva shuddhau dhruva smritihi, smriti lambe sarva granthinam vipramokshah. That when food is sanctified, when it is offered to God in yajna, in sacrifice, it becomes prasad, purified food. When you eat that food, your consciousness becomes pure. Your memory becomes sharp. When there's pure memory, you can actually advance in Krishna consciousness. It gives you liberation with purified intelligence. So food can actually cause us deliverance. So there are some of the experiences which have been tabulated of devotees eating in restaurants and junk foods. So really surprising experiences. Some people may say that I am eating only vegetarian, pure, I eat Jain foods. And I am eating only pure vegetarian foods. I make a mention into the waiters that I am a vegetarian, I am a Hare Krishna also sometimes, and please give us pure foods. And they're eating vegetarian food. But what they don't know is many times when they go into, like one devotee, he got some rubbery substance in his food. So, what is this? So he saw, he ruminated out, he saw it was a piece of meat. So he was furious and he went to the management and he said, what is this? I want to see your kitchen. And he went to the kitchen and they saw that many times the wastewater out of washing all that meat, they use it for cooking a vegetarian food. And they may maintain some cleanliness and separation in the beginning, but when the crowd builds up, when there's a lot of pressure on the cooks, then they may not be very careful how they're cooking. And, you know, things may get mixed up. They may mix the spoon and, you know, this spoon may go to that and the non-vegetarian food spoon, gravy may come here and, you know, and things always fry and, you know, I mean, when they're frying, or things are sprinkling everywhere, you know. So it may all get mixed up. So the food that we eat may not be always vegetarian. We may not know what they're putting inside. So in a restaurant called as Aroma of China, one devotee experienced something strange while eating veg biryani. So again, he found non-veg in it. So yeah, that was a restaurant actually, Aroma of China. So a devotee restaurant was opened. Yeah, one devotee restaurant opened a restaurant. So he wanted to get people, cooks. So he brought the cooks from restaurants who were selling Jain food, because they know how to cook vegetarian food, right? In a Jain style, which means no onion and no garlic. But when those people were employed, the restaurant couldn't open for 1 month because those people did not know how to cook food for devotees. Why? Because devotees were very careful what ingredients they were using, and they confessed that the sauces that they were using and everything, ingredient which they were using to cook Jain foods, also contained onion and garlic. So when the devotee was supervising them, they had to completely re-engineer what food and sauces they were using. So it took them 1 month to figure out again a new source and new sauces to cook for devotees. So this is what is happening even in Jain restaurants. They're eating onion and garlic. Could be. Not always. All restaurants, but in some few restaurants it's happening. So survey report shows that 80% of veg restaurant owners are either co-owning or have a stake in either a bar or a non-veg restaurant. 50% of people have non-veg restaurants. Tomato sauce, many times with the label no garlic, also contains garlic. Another surprise. One devotee, while opening a bottle of Coke, found a Manikchand Ghutka packet in it. Apple Fanta, they were selling. Animal fat was found in it. Mountain Dew, one drink called a Mountain Dew, after 1 year, 3 months, they put caffeine, contains caffeine. After 1 month, 1 year, 3 months. That is only after one case was launched on the company, then they put up that label, caffeine. So here is another surprising experience. It came in the news channel. So this came in the news.
पिछले कई दिनों से हमें लगातार हमारे दर्शकों की शिकायत मिली. उन्होंने बताया कि बाजार में नकली घी बेचा जा रहा है. उन्होंने ये बताया कि घी के नाम पर चर्बी बेची जा रही है. दर्शकों की शिकायत के बाद इंडिया टीवी की टीम ने इस गोरख धंधे की तहकीकात करने का फैसला किया. मेरठ में नकली घी बनाने वाली एक फैक्ट्री का पता चला. हमारे संवाददाता ने पुलिस को खबर दी. पुलिस ने नकली घी बनाने की इस फैक्ट्री पर रेड. पता चला इस फैक्ट्री में सालाना करोड़ों का कारोबार हो रहा था. इस फैक्ट्री में जानवरों की चर्बी से घी बनाया जा रहा था. पुलिस ने इस फैक्ट्री में नकली घी बनाने में काम आने वाली मशीनों को जब्त कर लिया है. इन मशीनों की कीमत लाखों रुपए है, लेकिन इस फैक्ट्री के मालिक इस घी से करोड़ों रुपए कमा रहे थे. पुलिस वालों ने जब हाथ में कड़ची उठाकर इस घी पर चलाई, उन्हें इस बात का जरा भी अंदाजा नहीं था कि जिसे वो घी समझ रहे हैं वो असलियत में जानवरों की चर्बी है. इस घी को भगवान श्री कृष्ण के नाम पर मुरली वाला घी कहकर, इस घी को देशभक्ति का घी कहकर बेचा जा रहा था. हम आपको घी बनाने का एक खतरनाक खेल दिखाएं. इससे पहले आपको सावधान करना चाहते हैं, अगर आप शाकाहारी हैं, अगर आप मांस नहीं खाते तो ये तस्वीरें आपको विचलित कर सकती हैं. अगर आप मांसाहारी हैं, आप नॉन वेजिटेरियन हैं, तो शायद आप ही घी खाना छोड़ दें.
देख सकते हैं इस फैक्ट्री में बड़े बड़े ड्रमों में मरे हुए जानवरों की चर्बी को उबाला जा रहा है. मेरठ की इस फैक्ट्री में सालाना करोड़ों का कारोबार होता है, लेकिन आप खुद देख सकते हैं जिस घी को आप खाते हैं, आप पूजा पाठ में इस्तेमाल करते हैं, उसे बनाया किस तरह जा रहा है. जानवरों की इस चर्बी को काफी देर उबालने के बाद इसमें थोड़ा सा असली घी मिला दिया जाता है और इसे बिल्कुल शुद्ध घी का नाम देकर डिब्बों में पैक होने के बाद बाजारों में पहुंचा दिया जाता है. जब आप बाजार में घी खरीदने जाएंगे तो आपके लिए ये पता लगाना बेहद मुश्किल होगा कि कौन सा घी असली है और कौन सा घी जानवरों की चर्बी से बना है।
हम आपको एक बार फिर से दिखाते हैं एक ऐसी फैक्ट्री।
हरे कृष्णा, इट्स अनदर सरप्राइजिंग एक्सपीरियंस। सो वी हैव टू बी केयरफुल, ट्राई टू मेक घी एट होम फॉर अ चेंज, यू नो इट्स ऑलवेज सेफ। सो मच ऑफ एडल्ट्रेशन गोइंग ऑन इन द एज ऑफ कलियुगा दैट द प्यूरेस्ट ऑफ प्यूरेस्ट फूड घी इज ऑल्सो बींग अडल्ट्रेटेड। सो इट्स वेरी डेंजरस टू परचेज दीज थिंग्स unconsciously. We have to be very careful as we may end up in serious trouble. So some practical tips for overcoming addictions. Gardening. We can teach our children and ourselves can actually learn to grow fruits and vegetables. So once we grow, we may naturally feel the inclination to eat what we have grown. And we can also learn some cooking. You know, we can learn cooking. So naturally when we learn cooking, we want to eat what we have cooked. Many times Prabhupada said, the best way to actually appreciate food is to cook your own food. Because no matter how lousy it is, you will eat it. So one should learn how to cook. So these are the ways how we can dovetail, you know, and get over habits. Harmonize your body with nature. So this is a very important statistics. All the devotees should be very careful to observe this. Okay. 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. What happens? Our bodies eliminates toxic chemicals from the immune system. It is best to be sound asleep by 9 p.m. for your body to properly execute this function. Many times it happens that at 9 o'clock people become fresh. And they get a surge of vigor and enthusiasm, as if the day has just begun. But no, that is the time to actually start unwinding and actually going to sleep. So this is modern research. Okay, this is our Ayurveda and Vedic Shastra has always been saying that night means tamaguna. One should sleep early, wake up early. But these are the research findings of modern scientists. So if we don't believe in Shastras, we can believe on these things, these statistics. 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., liver eliminates poisons and rejuvenates itself. That means we should be fast asleep during this time. 12 midnight to 4 a.m., our bone marrow produces blood. So we may think that, okay, I didn't get sleep in the night, I'll sleep in the day. It does not compensate. The night sleep is very, very important. If you miss the night sleep, it cannot be compensated with the day sleep. 1 a.m. to 3 a.m., gallbladder eliminates toxins and rejuvenates itself. 3 a.m. to 5 a.m., lungs eliminate toxins and rejuvenate themselves. 5 a.m. to 7 a.m., colon eliminates poisons and rejuvenates itself. This is the proper time to empty your bowels. 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., vitamins, minerals and proteins and nutrients get absorbed in our small intestines. And one should definitely eat breakfast in this period. So, breakfast is very important, as they say, because you know the longest gap between two meals is between dinner and breakfast. It's the longest, so you should not keep too many big gaps. So therefore, breakfast, even though light, is recommended. So food, according to Shastra, can purge sins. They can act like medicines to destroy all the sinful reactions of our body. Therefore, Krishna says, Yajna Shishtasana Santo Muchante Sarva Kilvishahi Bhunjate Te Pagham Papa Te Pachanti Atma Karanat. That devotees, they always offer the food before they eat it. Whatever you eat, one should offer it, offer bhoga to the Lord, and then one should accept it. And therefore, then that becomes what? It becomes purified. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, when he was a small child, he ate a mango without offering to Krishna. So some devotees were telling him, probably his parents or someone, that you ate the mango without offering to Krishna. So he said, oh really, I did a big mistake. Okay, I will never eat mangoes ever. So throughout his life, he never ate ripe mangoes. Never ate. As a small child of 5 years, he made a resolve not to eat mangoes and he followed it throughout his life. So we can see the glories of Prasad. Narada, he and his mother was visited by great saints. So the mother served the great saints and she took the remnants of the great saints, and Narada also took the remnants, Mahaprasad, of the great saints. And just by eating the Mahaprasad of the saintly people, Narada got the body of Narada. In his past life, he was a son of a maid servant. But in his next life, because of honoring Mahaprasad, he became Narada. So, the glories of Prasad. Okay, now the positive side. Why we should have Prasad? So it is said in the scriptures, if someone honors Prasadam unknowingly, he doesn't know it is Prasad, sinful reactions of 7 lifetimes are counteracted. If someone does that knowingly, sinful reactions of 1,000,000 lifetimes are counteracted. The Vishnu Puran says that simply by honoring Prasadam once, one gets the credit of fasting for 6 months. The Brahma Vaivarta Puran says that when a person is full with Prasadam and he walks on the earth, he purifies the earth, and when he goes to the holy place, he purifies the holy places. When he touches someone, that person is purified. Honoring Prasadam is equivalent to performing millions of horse sacrifices. So this was a newspaper article in the Bangalore Mirror, it appeared. Prapanna Agrahar prison in Bangalore is crowded with 4,700 inmates, more than twice its capacity. Why? Because the criminals are refusing to apply for bail to get out while the juvenile offenders are lying about their age to get in. This is reported in this newspaper. And the paper says that the reason is that healthy food being served by ISKCON or the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, a Hindu evangelist organization. What is the food? Lunch and dinner, piping hot rice, 2 vegetables and a spicy lentil dish called sambar and buttermilk. A dessert is added on festival days and national holidays, like Independence Day, and also once a week. So on prisoner Raja Reddy, he was interviewed and he said he had been arrested 20 times in 30 years for theft, robbery and burglary. And he said, when we are getting tasty, nutritious food 3 times a day here, why should we go out and commit crimes? How do you make a good offering? So we have to learn how to make a good offering, isn't it? Prasad is so important and so delicious. Use clean, purified ingredients, recitation of holy mantras, and using tulsi leaves. And lastly, very importantly, devotion. This is the process. It may happen that sometimes we may go and we are hungry and we may think, okay, let me purchase this biscuit packet. And we may purchase a biscuit packet, open and putting it in the mouth, and you remember, hare, offer nahi kiya. And think, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Krishna. Okay. I mean, that could be one of the ways of offering, but it's not the really ideal standard. Real offering means actually, when we cook the food with the intention of serving Krishna. It's not that it has already been prepared in some factory, and then we think we want to eat it, so let's offer it to Krishna. So that's not the principle. Like Krishna becomes like the prasadam maker. Like he's there at the altar. What goes is in bhoga, and what comes out is prasad. It's like a manufacturing belt. You know what comes in. So not that. It's a mechanical thing. So the real principle is that there should be devotion, because Krishna does not eat anything from anywhere. You know the story of Duryodhan and Vidur inviting Krishna for prasad. And Krishna said, "I'm not going to eat at your house." Duryodhan said, "Why?" Because I'm never hungry. I'm God. I'm always satisfied. And moreover, I've come as a Shanti Dut. So my job is to give this message. And only if you agree to the message that I'm giving, then I will eat at your house. Without my mission being fulfilled, why should I eat? And he did not eat. He went to Vidura's house. Why? Because Vidura offered food with love and devotion. Because Krishna is bhavagrahi. He only eats when actually it is offered with love and devotion. So we may say, okay, Krishna is very strict. We'll offer to Prabhupada. Prabhupada is merciful. But still, the principle still remains, you know. Because Prabhupada also will not eat anything which has not been offered to Krishna, in one sense. That's the principle. At least we should know it. We may not follow it, we may follow it, but at least it's good to know these things. So what is ideally prasad? Ingredients grown by devotees. Well, this is the highest standard when it is actually grown by devotees, cooked by devotees, offered to the Lord by the devotees, and honored, served by devotees, ideally speaking. Because when you serve prasad, it should also should be done with love and devotion, lovingly. You know, that should be, because sometimes, you know, these people, there are people, you know, when you go to some places, they look at, you know, like for example, one devotee was explaining when he was previously working in a hotel, sometimes the waiters don't like you. And when you go into the hotel, they think, aa gaya phir se. And they have seen waiters actually spit in the food when they are serving. When they get irritated, spit in the food. Lekha. It's not love. I mean, he might not have given a tip or something last time. Acha? So they're angry, in an angry mood. So this is what they may do. So the thing is that because it is not served with love, or then you are saying, okay, I want this more dish, you know, I have taken this, I want more. He may think, itna khata hai. Ab dekho, mangate rahe. He's harassing me. He may feel that it is a harassment for him. But when devotees are serving, they want you to eat. You know, they genuinely want you to eat. So with that love and they serve, so therefore it should be ensured that when one is serving, also one should serve with love and affection. Therefore in the Vedic times, you know, during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, the service of serving prasad was done by sannyasis, the pure-hearted people. The serving prasad is a very important activity. It is not an ordinary activity. It has to be done by the extremely pure devotees of the Lord. So one should try to also follow fasting. One should try to fast also sometimes. It is very good for making spiritual advancement, especially on appearance and disappearance days of great devotees and the Lord. Ekadashi is also, it's very important. If you see, you know, and economically, it saves a lot of food worldwide. So much crores of, if the whole world observes Ekadashi, how much of crores and crores and tons of food is saved. There will be no shortage of food throughout the world. So also we make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada used to say we can eat our way back home, back to Godhead. We can eat our way back to Godhead. So eating can be a spiritual experience if it is done in a proper way. So there are so many varieties we can eat. There are so many varieties in which we can cook and honor prasadam and serve prasadam. So that is the end. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So anyone has any questions? So these are just the facts. If someone wants to follow, it's not enforced upon anyone. It's not that if you have to come to the Hare Krishna temple, you're going to be asked, khaya ki nahi? Bahar khaya kya last week mein? It's not necessary. I mean, so any questions, anyone? Any contributions? Yes. Did you raise your hand? Okay. Speak, yeah, because there's no mic. Is there a mic? Mic is gone? Okay.
Krishna. Prabhuji, myself Manohar. I have been ISKCON last December 2008, and I have a doubt about why we should not eat garlic and onion.
Okay, so why we should not eat garlic and onions? So garlic and onions are certainly vegetarian foods, but they are known as aphrodisiacs. You know what's aphrodisiac? There are certain foods which are aphrodisiac, which means they agitate your senses. You know, they make you more agitated. So therefore, devotees who are trying to control their senses by eating this, these kind of foods, it becomes more difficult to control your senses. Because these foods are in the mode of passion. Onion and garlic. You know? I mean, the moment you cut an onion, your eye starts watering. Have you noticed? They're very pungent and very strong. So they come in the mode of rajogun. So when you eat that, one becomes tends to feel passionate. And we're trying to subdue the passion and develop sattvagun. So this rajasic and tamasic ahar, it affects your consciousness in a negative way. Also, it is explained in the shastras that this lasun and kanda, you know, they are formed out of the blood of a demon, asura. Therefore, when you eat it, it contaminates you. So, therefore, if it can be avoided, that's very, very good. So, it is tamasic ahar, rajasic ahar. Is that clear? There was one question here.
Yeah, a very nice lecture. I have a question. You show in a presentation that Krishna said food prepared after 3 years is not good.
Not 3 years, 3 hours.
Oh, sorry, 3 hours. sorry. Extremely sorry. When we go to office, it's, practically I always eat food prepared after 4 hours at least. So what's the way out?
Yeah, so there is an exception for prasad, that is food which is cooked for 3 hours. But prasad is always pure. So make sure you offer your food, because prasad is pure even if it may be spoiled. But that doesn't mean we should eat stale prasad, you know, just because it's prasad. But you should try to eat fresh foods. At least once in a day, you should ensure that you eat hot meal. And that should be preferably lunch. If it's not lunch, then okay, you can take a dinner. So if prasad is 3 or 4 hours old, it's okay. It's all right, not a big problem. Okay, one last question.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, my question is, so many things are contaminated. Like one of my friend is having a milk dairy. He said that with injection they take out milk. And whatever gutter water, this is nala water, they put inside this polythene bag. And even these vegetable vendors, this watermelon they inject with the red color. And so many, like fruits also, even we are eating mangoes, they use calcium carbonate to ripe it very faster. For bananas, they use fertilizers, they sprinkle fertilizers on bananas. And it becomes very dangerous nowadays. Even milk, your fruits, whatever we think, it is healthy. But it contains so much man-made materials which make them colorful or ripen. So how can we make it sure that we are eating very healthy foods?
So we have to make sure now. What can be done? How can we make sure? You find out who's a milkman who's giving you milk. Kaun hai wo doodh wala bhaiya jo deta hai? Jaake dekho. You have to do that. You have to do your research. In this age of Kali Yuga, you have to do that. And it's worth it. You know, it's really worth it. Worth putting effort. Because devotees have a lot of time because they don't go for movies and all these things. So what they're going to do with the free time? You go and do that. Do your research. It's not that your whole life you're doing research only. It's a one-time effort. You take one-time effort to find out, you know, where are you getting your stuff from, your spices and things like that. So, you know, so I'll take this some other time. Yeah, I'll take it some other time. Yeah, it's already late. It's 3:10. Okay, someone is asking why we should not eat masoor dal. Masoor ka dal. So masoor dal, it is explained to be extremely high in proteins. More than what we need. And therefore, according to Shastras, eating masoor dal is as good as eating non-veg. So therefore, we don't eat masoor dal. In our movement, there are many devotees who are very much addicted to eating meat. Westerners, they would eat meat. Yeah? So they would drink a lot of dal, you know, big glasses of dal to compensate for their protein intake. Because meat contains a lot of proteins. But what happens is that our body doesn't need so much proteins. Because the body can store fat, it can't store proteins. The proteins has to be thrown out of the body. If it is not thrown, it can cause serious problems. So what happens is, as a result, if you eat too much proteins, you know, through masoor dal, it may agitate our senses. It may cause various health diseases, health problems. So therefore, it has to be avoided. Is that okay? It's like eating non-vegetarian food. It's like as good as that. So you ask a question? Really? Oh, you have a question. So I think we'll wind up for today. Yeah. And thank you very much for being so patient. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare.